welcome. It's great to be here. And we will warm up. The sun will come out eventually, they tell me. All right. I've also been told to dress in layers. I'm from South Gippsland in Victoria, so I am used to cold. I have just forgotten how cold actually works. Anyway, so we'll just open up in prayer, and then we'll get stuck into what is a very, very full agenda. Shortly we'll ask you to put your seatbelts on and brace for a pretty quick ride through family identity. All right, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can gather together. Lord, we thank you for these families that are here. Lord, we thank you for the time we are able to spend together in your word, in your name. So just bless everyone here in obedience to your word. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we've done the welcome bit. I'm Jeff. This is Alicia. You'll have seen Nathan if you hadn't seen his name tag. He's the one that's this tall. He's our 15.8-year-old. We have David, Josiah, and Hannah. We didn't choose to stop with a girl. It just happened to work out that way. So this is our family with our adopted grandparents at the
Phillip Island National Conference,
the last National
January
Conference.
Last year.
Today, we're going to cover a range of topics. You've got all got your book, and all the melancholies amongst you have already flicked through the book to make sure all the topics are in order and we'll do everything correctly. Some of the topics aren't all that logically linked to family identity in some of your heads, I suspect. And that's okay, because of all the teachings that we do in growing kids God's way, when we get to the father's mandate and I said, fathers, develop your family identity, people go, what? And dads in particular go, we'll skip that one. I'll just hug my children. That seems much easier to do. And my wife will remind me to write notes, so I get 2 out of 3, I'm done. What we thought we would do is, before we get really stuck into the family identity topic, we would just describe our family to you, which is our family identity. Family identity isn't rocket science. You already all have one. Whether you've worked on one deliberately or not, you have a family identity. And I know this to be true because some of your neighbours, you can describe very well to your friends about what they are characterised by. They're the noisy ones. They're the ones that have parties till 4 o'clock in the morning. They're the ones with the big flashy boat, and they're always, right? So you could describe what their family looks like. They can do that with your family too. Hopefully in better terms than you may describe theirs. So, Alicia, run through our family identity a little bit, and I'll get my coffee, which is part of my identity.
Our family identity basically just looks like one of the things we do is we make the national conferences our biannual family holiday, and we travel to a national conference and we do a bit of a holiday of it, as we are doing right now. We do growing families ministry is part of our family identity. Our children help us in various ways, hence they're helping today, especially the older two. Going to national conferences, doing family a holiday like we're here and heading towards Adelaide for the Key Leaders Camp. That is something, when we leave one family conference, our kids are talking about how we're going to get to the next one. So it's sort of ingrained in their heads that if we go to one, we go to the next one.
In fact, we made a mistake in our family identity. For a work trip, we managed to go to the States for 3 months, which was great. I did a lot of work. We saw some of America. And we managed to go to the GFI National Conference. So on the way home, it was, okay, are we coming to the next one?
Which is June this year.
No.
And just to let you into a little secret, as far as that, Jeff's just been made redundant, but for work, which
it's not all bad news.
One of the first comments we explained to the kids what that meant, and that we were not worried about financially what was going to happen, because we were getting 12 months' pay put into our bank account. And the first comment our 9-year-old said to us, does that mean we get to go to America in June? So, yes.
So it is possible to make mistakes in putting your family identity together, and the law of unintended consequences definitely works with family identity.
But just on a day-to-day basis, I mean, that's talking every 2 years. On a day-to-day basis, it means things like we make a point of doing a family night as often as we can. We try and make it once a week, but it sometimes stretches to once a fortnight or once a month. That may look like watching some family videos. That may look like playing a family board game together. Sometimes our family nights are actually Sunday afternoons. It may look like when Hannah does a ballet concert that all the boys come along. As much as they don't necessarily enjoy it, they come along and they watch her. On Saturdays at cricket, even though there's two boys in the family who play cricket, we make a point of trying to get to the matches. Jeff may go to one and I go to the other, but Nathan and Hannah often will come along. It's a point of doing things together and sharing in each other's achievements.
Part of what our family identity is also what it's not. We do camping. I used to do camping at 5 stars, but apparently that was very snobbish. So now I only camp at places that where I can choose my own pillow type. Right. So part of our family identity isn't really heading off to the back blocks with a tent and a can opener and say, right, we're going to fend for ourselves, right? Yeah. We can do that. And if we were made to do that, we would. But that's not really what we're into, right? Some of you might think, fancy going to a hotel as a camping exercise. That would be the last thing that I want to do. Just give me a tent, give me a swag, and I'm done, right? So, family identity. So don't get too hung up on family identity in one sense. But what I would say is that when your family is little, family identity is really easy. It's try and keep awake, be reasonably sane to your friends when they come over for a cup of coffee when you haven't had any sleep. Right? But as you get older, family identity is really, really important because your kids are part of your family. You want them to identify well with your family identity and actually like it.
And with that too, you want them to want to be home and not always wanting to go to their friend's house all the time. The fact that they enjoy spending time in your family is the key, and enjoy wanting to be home and wanting to do something together as a family, whether it's just going out to the park or having a picnic lunch or whatever. That's the key. And if they're comfortable and they're happy doing that, your family identity is strong.
So be warned, as you well know with some of your own siblings potentially, God does have a sense of humour. And even if Alicia and I are really content in just camping in nice hotels, you could be blessed with a child who loves camping. Right? God will do that just to mess with you. So our oldest son, actually our oldest two, are involved in a boys' club through our church. The youngest one goes as an attendee. And they really like camping. So when the opportunity comes and they have a camp, I make about half of them and I sleep in a tent, but I bring my coffee. Right, so you don't have to slum it completely. So they identify with the fact that Dad will go camping with them, and they understand what that means for Dad, and even more for Mum. She hasn't been on half of them, let me tell you. Because the girls' club camps in dorms and stuff. So that's family identity. And it's a whole lot more complicated in terms of what some of the finer detail looks like and some of the things that we work on that no one actually sees. Because like I said before, you can describe your neighbour's family identity quite well, but that's only the bit you see. Actually, some of it might be some of the bits you hear, but generally only the bits you see. One of the things that our family identity, unless you come to our place or to one of the great families, Queensland family camps, you won't know that we generally sing grace at mealtimes to start our meal. Part of our family identity, been doing it forever. Starting to do it less now as our kids get a fair chunk older. But that's part of our family identity. We worked on that. It was a deliberate thing that we wanted to do, not because we're fantastic singers or anything. It was just something that we did. So that's a small part of family identity that we've worked on, but no one else gets to see necessarily. So, right.
So,
without further ado, use the clicker.
So family identity, a few ways you can establish your family identity. We're just going to sort of brush through these today. Some of them we'll talk into a bit more detail. Determine your purpose, goals and values. Discover your God-given design. Photographs and Bible verses. Genealogy research and software. Heraldry and family crests and family traditions.
And now some of you are going to say, whoa, we really want to talk about number four and five a lot. And some of you are going to go, five? What? So some of this is... If it rocks your boat, pay really close attention. If it doesn't, take some notes just in case it does later. It is possible. We have one member of our family who is dead keen on genealogy and other bits and pieces, and the rest of us go, anyway. So.
By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24.
You will see in your books, for those of you who have registered and got your little labels, that there is places to write stuff. That's where you write the stuff that we make up between now and the next point. Okay? Oh, you thought we planned this. Obviously don't know our family very well. No. So, if you don't have a plan, you will still get to a destination. We had a plan today to come to here. We plugged it into our GPS, and before we pushed the go button, we started driving and realised the little dot wasn't moving. It's not our car, wasn't familiar with the GPS, pushed the go, all good. We had an email with notes, but we didn't trust the email. So, you need to plan. If you don't plan, you will still get somewhere. We will have got somewhere, and as our oldest son said, we will get somewhere in ACT, we won't get lost. And then it wasn't until we got three quarters of the way here, we realised the camp wasn't in ACT. Don't tell the New South Welshman that your ACT camp is not in the ACT. So, have a plan. Now, does that mean if you've got your littlest one, or littlest one this size, that you need to have a plan of what your family identity will look like when you're 15? No, not necessarily. But you should have some idea. Do you want your family to be an outgoing family? Are you going to be playing strategic board games with your two-year-old? No, probably not. But if, as a husband and wife, you love playing board games, playing games with them in a structured sense is probably something you want to start on. However, if outdoor camping is your thing, buying one of those rucksack thingies where you can stuff said child in the back or the front and going for walks with them is probably something you want to begin early just in case they like the hotel version of camping. Right? So you do need to understand what you want. What do you want your family to look like? If you had a tombstone for your family, what engraving would you want someone else to put on there? This was a great family. They were very quiet. We never heard of them. You see it at interviews occasionally when something terrible happens at the house next door. So, we never heard of them. We lived next to them for 5 years, never heard a whisper. Right? Or, we're really glad they're gone. We get some sleep now. Right, so understand what you want your family to look like. What values do you want to be characterised by as a family? Do you want to be known as a serving family? I'd argue that that is something that we've worked very hard at. Our family theme for the last 5 years has been others focused.
Be others focused, as per these posters up here.
And part of that's about service. Part of that is thinking that our children aren't the centre of the universe. It's difficult when you have four children when they all think they are centre of the universe. It gets very complicated. So that's something that we have worked on very deliberately and strategically in a whole range of ways. So, is that one of the values that you want to have your family described as? A little later on...
Yeah, I was going to say, later on in the afternoon, the last talk we're going to be doing is family devotions. That's something that our family does, well, I think, well. We make a point most meals. As the kid's getting older, it's getting harder because someone has to go off here and then someone's cricket training finishes at 6:30 and it's like, well, okay, sometimes you don't have much time. But we make a point of, I'd say, probably 4 to 5 nights out of the 7, we do a family devotion around the dinner table. And that is something that we'll talk a little bit more about this afternoon to explain how we have done that. Yeah. So I'm not going to go into too much depth about that now.
That too comes with unintended consequences when your 16-year-old asks you a very, very difficult question you don't actually know the answer to.
But one of the books we do recommend in this area is Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life. He'll take you through 40 short life lessons, and that is something that may... help you with your spiritual walk and spiritual goals.
And again, with something like that, some of you will have already done that sort of stuff before, but most of the time that's just for you. Mm. And sometimes it might even be for sort of husband and wife. You think, well, okay, well, let's think about this in terms of what it looks like for my family, because that's the difference between family identity and your own identity. All right, point two.
Discover your God-given design. The unexamined life is not worth living. It's a quote from Aristotle. How did you get to point three? Don't worry about it. It's all right.
See, well rehearsed. Okay. Why this is really important for family identity is that if you actually don't understand your design and how God made you and how God made your spouse, like the perfect woman next to me here, it is very difficult to function well as a family. So if your values and characterizations are to be a completely dysfunctional family, you can go grab yourself a coffee and go to the bathroom at this point. So, and I've got this one up here, and it's in your books too, talking about choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, and melancholy. This is one way that you can describe your personality. There are lots. This one we particularly like.
There is a kid's version, which is the... I can't think.
Treasure tree,
that's the word. And that describes a choleric as a lion, a sanguine as an otter, a melancholy as a beaver, and a phlegmatic as a golden retriever. That is a fantastic book. We probably should have brought that one down with us.
Anyway. Yes, in fact, I had a brief moment with my son at the back who dropped his sunglasses twice off his belt. He says, off my utility belt. I said, will you just stop being a golden retriever? Anyway. The treasure tree,
Helping Kids Understand Their Personality by John Trent and Gary Smalley, Smalley. It is widely available at Coorong and Word and other bookstores. Yep. It's not actually a GFA resource.
Oh. Absolutely. In fact, The Treasure Tree is a kid's book. And it's, in Jesus' words, it's a parable. Because it's got a hidden meaning. And it is a great storybook. In its own right, it is fantastic. Mm. It's long, but it is great. It's one of my favourite kids' books that we have, actually, for two reasons. One, it taught our kids how to understand each other, to help them understand us a bit, which had its advantages, has its disadvantages. One of the things, I'm a choleric, sanguine, extrovert, oddly enough. That's why most people don't give me a microphone more than once.
And I'm a melancholy, phlegmatic, a bit more introverted.
And why is that important for your family identity? Because our four children are all shaped slightly differently, and some of them considerably differently, from each other and from their parents. So, if you happen to have a sloth, which is not in the treasure tree, politically incorrect animal, apparently, sloth. If you happen to have a sloth and you're a really energetic family, you've got a whole bunch of work to do. However, if you're a family that loves going to the movies and you have a sloth, fine. Right? But if you were a sloth and you happen to be blessed and God would do that to you with 2 or 3 Energizer bunnies in your family,
being the sanguines,
all right, you are in trouble. Especially if you like watching TV at fancy hotels, and they love climbing Mount Everest on the weekend, right? God will do that to you. So you need to understand, he does. What do you think God does in his spare time? He just watches and says, let's see what happens to the Branches family now. They thought they had it together. Right? So, if you understand your temperaments, personalities and that sort of stuff...
Really quickly, does everybody here have an understanding of what these personalities are, or is this something new to them?
Oh, okay, we'll do heads up for the recording later. Who has done something in a work sense or just in a reading tons of books sense, done a personality test of some description? About three quarters. How much of it made sense to you when you did it? It's about half.
Yeah. Just really quickly then, a sanguine is a personality person that wants to do things the fun way. Everything's fun. They want to have fun, basically. So if you're wanting to explain something to a child, how to do a task, you need to make it fun. And they will comprehend and they will get the task really quickly.
You will know when you have a sanguine, when they're really enthusiastic about the task, they do it twice, and then they say, I don't want to do that anymore. And you think, why? And they say, because it's not fun anymore. That is a sanguine. Apart from the fact they're likely to be bouncing around like an Energizer bunny when they're telling you that.
The choleric is the...
The best personality, clearly.
...is the strong-willed child... and wants to do something their way. They want to do things in control. The phlegmatic personality is the child that wants to do it the easy way. Explain it by the beanbag. molds to each any situation.
The path of least resistance.
Path of least resistance. Yeah, and I should have given you the other. Things we recognise the choleric as a bulldozer is
harsh.
A really good way to do it,
harsh.
And the sanguine as Christmas lights on all year round. the phlegmatic's the beanbag, and the melancholy is the wet blanket. They also want to do things the right way, they're very
perfectionist.
So that's just a quick rundown of it.
So if you think of the treasure tree, they have the animals. Who's been to a zoo and seen an otter? They make Energizer bunnies tire out, those fellas. Right? They are everywhere. They're always having fun. If it's not fun for an otter, they just wouldn't do it. They wouldn't be bothered. Right? But I suspect that otters do not have deep relationships with other otters. Why? Because that's too hard. People have problems. Move on. So why the... Going back to family identity... And why this is a very fluffy concept and how this fits together. You need to understand who you are and how you fit together, and you need to understand your children. Because irrespective of whether you're a hiking family or a strategic board game family, your family identity will be shaped by the personalities that are in it. And normally you could tell... 4 or 5, they really start to develop. But I can tell you, if you have a phlegmatic baby that's dominantly phlegmatic, you will know from day one. They will not... They'll suckle. Okay, be more.
They will be the baby that is always just laying there content.
Pass them around to anybody.
Pass
I don't
the
care
child
who
around
hangs
to anyone. The sanguine baby would be really noticeable that if you pass the baby that you got in your arms into anybody, they'd be happy to be with any person at all.
Smile,
and that's a toddler,
chat,
they will
to
smile, they will smile at anybody. Once they start talking as a toddler, you will struggle at the shopping centre to tell them to shut up.
There are strengths and weaknesses to all personality types.
The phlegmatic child will also probably be the shy child. I'm going... back and forth here. The melancholy child will be the drama child, the drama queen, the weight of the world on them. They will feel everybody else's problems.
And the melancholy is actually difficult to spot for little children in terms of that, right? Because when you're one, there aren't many weights of the world to carry around. Seriously? Right?
I think... The phlegmatic sometimes can be the hardest to pick because that child can be the child that will take on each personality. They can take on every personality. Sometimes it's easier to be the life of the party. Sometimes it's actually easier to sit down and be quiet. So if you see a child that you're really struggling, but you're seeing a bit of sanguine, you're seeing a bit of choleric, you're seeing a bit of melancholy, and you're seeing a bit of everything, it's a good chance it's a phlegmatic child and it will actually go into each personality. So sometimes that is the harder one to spot. The children and adults, for that matter, that are very strong in one personality, it's a lot easier. If you've got a child that's about 50-50, it is a bit harder to spot earlier on. So
two questions on this side, Shane and...
Absolutely. Yes. In fact, I'm pretty much 48% phlegmatic, 48% melancholy, and there are a couple of choleric things in there with virtually no sanguine.
And just to let you know, the melancholy is very precise.
So
I'm about 50-50 sanguine choleric. Actually,
but that's
not true.
Just to show you that, yeah, I'm not very strong phlegmatic or a strong melancholy, but there are tendencies, and to be honest, Gary and Anne-Marie Ezzo and Joan and Bill Grosser both said to me, they say that I'm a sanguine. And I look at them and thinking, what?
Anyway, just goes to show that the Ezzos are not perfect.
That shows where when I present like this that I can take on a sanguine personality. That's my phlegmatic side of me. But normally I'm more introverted and more phlegmatic.
She doesn't want to be showed up by her husband.
But we do need to move on.
Yep. They're not. And that's, I actually, one of the things that I actually really like is studying people as a hobby.
That's a choleric.
I don't stalk people anymore because it's illegal. But you can study people from afar. So that's why I asked about, like, this is one version, right? And this has been around for a long time. The names come from some really odd places, but that's okay. You don't want to actually understand what some of them come from. They're not pretty at all. So Myers-Briggs do something, and there's a whole bunch. And God gives us who we are as a personality, as a diamond. This describes one or two facets. It's not perfect because it doesn't see the whole diamond, and none of them do. There isn't a personality test that can do the whole thing. So use all it for what it is.
All personalities have strengths and all personalities have weaknesses.
Cholerics have few
and
weaknesses.
And as parents, you need to look at those strengths and you need to encourage those strengths of your children. A choleric will be a great leader. A melancholy will be a great listener to someone who is a counsellor type person. You need to encourage those things. But you need to look at the children's and your own weaknesses and you need to eliminate them. And if you look at the character of Jesus, Jesus had all the strengths of all four personalities. And you can say that a phlegmatic can be quite lazy. That is not a character trait that you want to encourage. So you can eliminate that if you work hard at it as a parent and as an adult yourself.
So how does that tie back to family identity? If you want to be a service-orientated family...
You can't be lazy.
And you've got cholerics and sanguines, no problem, as long as that service is out the front. If you only ever want to serve in the kitchen and you have a sanguine, they will kill you eventually. Stuff you in the dishwasher when you're not watching. Why? Because they want to interact with people. So be aware of how that all fits. Because you could be known as the family that has the serial killer in them, and slowly knocking off the other members of the family who are introverts. So don't be like that. Right. Bitches paid 1,000 words. We are very fortunate to be put up with by the Purser family. And the first thing I did, after saying hello, actually, second thing I did, being precise, I had a look at the pictures on the wall. All the photographs. I think... Jeff still looks funny in shorts. And I get a sense of their family identity very quickly. I suspect that supporting children in far-flung places who are significantly disadvantaged one way or another, either systematically or just because of where they happen to be born, is part of their family identity. Now, I don't know if that's part of all their family identity or it's just the parents, because they get to hang the pictures up on the wall. But you get a sense. So you see, faded photo, old. You look at some of our photos, they're starting to get a bit of age on them. Oddly enough, they'll be about Nathan. So
one thing we do as a family, and we're about to do that again this year, is approximately every 5 years, we take a decent professional family portrait. We saw that when we were just married. One of our friends, their family, had every 5 years, they had a family portrait done on their wall.
Scary.
And I said to Jeff, I said, I'd like to do that too. And so we started when Hannah was about 6 months. We took our first one, and then when she was about five, so she's almost 10, so we're due to do it again. And that, funnily enough, becomes a Christmas present for family for this year. So that's really
our Christmas card is likely to have that photo on the front.
So that's one thing that, and we have it on our wall and we're going to build on that. And that doesn't stop when they get married and they get their partners and they get their grandchildren. We hope to continue that as a family tradition. It's just something we saw and we really liked in that particular family, and we took it on as our own. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Seeing something else that another family does and thinking, you know what, I really like that, and take it on as your own.
We have a series of these.
It's our mission at every Growing Families conference to have a photo with Gary and Anne-Marie.
Nathan would say that Gary and Anne-Marie are getting shorter and shorter all the time. Right, so the other thing is that it also gives you a sense of hairstyle and colour and fashion and other bits and pieces, which, depending on what personality types generally the lady of the house is, some of those photos might not stay up forever. So be purposeful about some of those photos. We have got a great camera. Used to be a great camera. Now it's a okay camera. And it has done thousands and thousands of kilometres and not taken a photo. We're great at remembering to take the camera and pack it. Does a great job. What we forget is to use it at the other end. So we've got lots of great memories of things that we have done that we don't have photos for. Dumb. Right? You young'uns, that's not going to be a problem, because most younger people considering yourselves older... Just for the recording, that was to the purses. Right? Photos, you take lots and lots of them. You whack them up on Facebook, Instagram, you name it. It goes there. Stick them up around the place. When you've got little kids, seeing photos, print them out. They don't know they're not done at Harvey Norman and bits and pieces. It's just done at the desk jet. Cool, print them out. They love to see that they're part of this family at various places. So that's where that fits.
Next.
I'll speak to this one too, because this was Alicia's favourite one in here. She said, Jeff, why does this make sense to be in family identity? This makes sense to be in family identity for some people much more than others. When you look at us, you actually don't know our history. You don't know if we're immigrants. You don't know if we're 8th-generation Australians and came over as convicts. But part of the history of what I bring to our family and what Alicia brings to the family is where you come from. We actually have a very remarkably similar genealogy and social history as far as that goes, but that's not true for everybody. And they make shows on TV about genealogies, and you find all sorts of interesting things buried in some people's families. The Bongers family is very boring. I've had a look. There's no princes, no murderers, no nothing. We're just mostly farmers and Dutchmen. And most of us are named Ari or Cor or Cornelius. And that's about it. Back to about 1600 and then we lose touch.
And my family, funnily enough, also is Dutch background, but it has a very similar background.
They've got murderers, robbers.
Names that are passed down. But realistically, the heritage of your family determines often how you parent and where you're going as families. So it is important to think about that, and also what legacy you're going to leave for your children down the track. Is it going to be a Christian family? Are you first-generation Christians? If you are first-generation Christians, that's going to change. Your family heritage is going to change drastically if that continues down your family line.
And celebrating the fact, if you are multi-generational Christian families, celebrate that fact. That's great that you have that opportunity to see grandparents and great-grandparents through that line. The other thing is that before I was made redundant, that's still technically true, I worked with a Russian. He has a completely different genealogy to me, and some of that has impacts because he celebrates two Christmases and two Easters because half of him is Russian Orthodox. That's part of his family identity. When he moved to Australia, it took him 3 years to actually celebrate Christmas with Australians because he just couldn't get his head around it. So that's part of where you come from, and that's nothing to be ashamed of, and your children need to understand where your parents and your grandparents. Those stories, if they're not told, disappear and can be a loss to your own family identity. There are lots of tools and other bits and pieces. There are even apps for young'uns. Apps. There's books in the library, like tree books for old people, like the branches. They'd go to the library, I'm sure. So there are tools around, software to fill your boat on that sort of stuff. Yeah, I tried to do that with the Alicia side of the family. Apparently, I wasn't allowed. But yes, no, absolutely. There are
helpful things, or you might be first-generation citizens. Yeah,
correct. And especially if there are times when separating yourself from that is really important. But even then, you still know that it's there. And eventually, as a family, when your kid, like as an adult, you might think, right, this is something we have to separate ourselves from. But when your kids are 16 and 17, that's a discussion you have to have had already about why we don't see the other side of the family, or we only do, and it's very restricted. That's part of your family identity, sort of stuff. But yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying that you have to love all kin and kind well. No, you have to love them all well. You just don't have to love them close up necessarily. You can move continents even. Oh.
Another key would be an element of selectivism, wouldn't it? There are certain, I'm first generation Christian, so there's certain things that I'm selective about. There's certain things that I'm selective about. There's certain elements from my family that we would not adopt.
Correct.
And that my children can own what an element of Australian culture has been.
Yep. Mm. And I think that the separation stuff is just as true in your sort of circumstances being first generation Christian. Can you think, actually, yes, there are significant family traditions that I'm not going to continue because they're not helpful. But we have that discussion in our family, even with some of my brothers and Alicia's sister, saying, look, that's just not part of our family identity. I know that the greater Bongers family or the greater Bronsma family might do that. That's not our deal. We don't do that. Because there are some traditions you think, as a family, I don't want to be characterised by that sort of stuff. So that's true in a very like harsh and, well, gee whiz, that's really extreme, and I'm not going to do that. But there are there could be words and ways of speaking that you want to be known as a positive family. Parental guidance. Who's seen Parental Guidance, the movie? Oh, you guys have to fly more. I hate flying with a passion. My son watched Parental Guidance. We'd already seen it. And the family, so get the grandparents and then the family, and they only use positive words. And they play baseball and you can't get struck out, right? You have to hit the ball. And it's all about, one of the children says, you used the no word. We don't use that in our family. Curious. There's lots of times when no is the most appropriate word. But they had chosen not to use a particular word, and they only spoke positive speak. It's all New Age and very funny, but that was a choice that they had made. Now, that might only be a small separation and change from your heritage, or it could be there's no way that I'm going to drink alcohol anymore because of what my family does. I know I can control it, but the symbolism is too strong that I'm actually just not going to drink. We have some friends who were in that category, said, when we were young, we did way too much drinking. We have chosen not to drink. It's not a religious conviction. It's just, you know, we're just not going to. Because it separates us and changes the course. So, all right. See, I told you this would be an interesting point. It stayed in. The boss made sure of that. Don't you worry. Right. Do you want to start this one?
Whatever.
I've got to get into trouble when whatever happens, let me tell you.
The next session that we do, is that correct or was it after lunch? No, third session we do. We are actually going to spend some time with your families and come up with your own family crest as such. Now, this is basically just using some character traits that you would like to see. This is a practical exercise to see your family. Like we said, our family theme for the last few years has been others focused. From that, so that's our overriding theme. From that, we have chosen service because that's one of the aspects of our family identity that we want our children to do. So one part of our little family identity is serving. We serve through church, we serve through growing families. So that's just one way. Another is honesty and integrity. And so that's the sort of things that... And they're character traits that we work on more often in our family than a lot of the others. I'm not saying that we don't eliminate all the others, but they're the ones that we try and bring everything back to as we parent and as we talk to our children and we explain when they've done something wrong or they've not been sharing with their siblings. And we say, well, is not sharing others focused? We can always bring it back. And so, yeah, we'll probably talk a little bit more in relation to that in the third session.
And again, some of you are going to say yes, and some of you are going to go, eh? I have to draw stuff? I hope my shield is allowed to have stick figures on it. And you know what? We've had three goes now at this. The first time we went, really? We have about one artistic bone between us. Outside music. We can do music, and music on a family crest is very difficult to do. But we persevered. Well, we didn't necessarily persevere. People made us persevere because we turned up to camps and they did it.
But it's
That's
just...
why, Mr. Purser, we're still doing it.
It's just something to make Sprung. You aware of what character traits, as family identity, that you want your family known as. We go to our church and our family is well and truly known as a serving family at church. There are many a Sundays that we go to church and there's four or five of us on different rosters for something. And it's like, oh, guess what? Oh, really, today, we actually don't have anything on.
we get a sleep-in, that's amazing.
We get a sleep-in, yeah.
Doesn't happen often.
And there are a couple of families that recognise that. Yeah, it's something that we are known as.
And some of the artistic folk amongst you are going, oh, finally, I can get him to do something useful. So, we'll get into this. That's no drama. The last one, family traditions. Family traditions is one of the more obvious signs of your family identity. And we've talked through some of those already. Who of you have done Growing Kids God's Way? Okay. Leave your hands up if you're the person who ran the course made you watch the memorials session. So who has seen a session called memorials? For those of you who have seen it, you'll know because you probably cried near the end. Because it's a very sad story. We put tissues out on the table whenever we do memorials and invariably it gets used. All right, for those of you who have done Growing Kids and not seen memorials, find your facilitator.
And asked to borrow the DVD.
or, actually, and you can even run this in Canberra, or in the ACT, if you don't want to go into the centre.
You can either do it on your
run a memorials night.
Marriage night that you talked about that you do.
Memorials is great. It is sad, but it is great. Memorials talks about the memorial markers in your life and in your family's life. All right? In 4 seconds.
No, I don't talk about this yet.
Yeah. In 4 seconds, memorials are markers, significant things. And sometimes they're marked by little crosses on the side of the road. Sometimes they're marked by tattoos. Right? Sometimes they're marked by piles of rocks after the Israelites walked through a river. Right? Your family has memorials. There are significant events. In that, it talks about some of the family traditions as well, which is why we'd really encourage you to watch it, if not for the teaching in its own right. So, family traditions. One of the family traditions we have a red plate in our family. Go. Excellent. Like audience participation.
It has a star on it.
You get that plate when you have been outstand amazing. You get that plate. Now, outstand amazing, when we first gave out the plate, was for riding your bike without training wheels for the first time. That is an outstand amazing effort. Sometimes it would be for actually getting something right that you've been working on for ages. So if you have a particularly shy child and you've been working on, can you just say hello to the person coming through? Don't worry about the Mr. and Mrs. Bongersby. Just eye contact, hello, right? Let's start there. And they do it without the reminder because you forgot. You think, oh, that's outstanding, amazing. They've got that. So it's an encouragement thing. That's one of the things we do. We give it out once a month when we remember.
We go through phases. We do homeschool. That's another family identity of us. Once a week, I try and pick out something that the kids have done. Sometimes it's really difficult that with their schoolwork that they may have done really well. It could be that one child may be struggling very much with their spelling for that week. And at the end of the week, they've done a spelling test, and guess what? they did really well. They may not have got 100%, but they may have got like 80% or something, and for them, that is brilliant. And it could be for just birthdays. Sometimes if Jeff travels for work, we always make a point of the meal before he goes. We give him the red plate to say, we love you and we'll be thinking of you when you go away.
Sometimes I give it to Alicia because I love her. Because I think she's outstanding, amazing. And that's on tape.
So that's a family tradition we have. Other family traditions might be at Christmases. You always go to someone's house for Christmas lunch or
and
Christmas
have
dinner.
And that's Thanksgiving.
It's dinner, Christmas too. It could be something like birthdays. You may choose to have a birthday party for your child or for you every birthday. It may be once a month or once every 6 months, watching family movies of what's happened in the past of your family. There's lots of family traditions that you can come up with.
One of the best ways to check out family traditions, especially if you only have young children, is to watch other families. And see what they do. And think, oh, that's pretty... Oh, no, I don't like that at all. We could try that. And ask. Ask your facilitators. What's your family identity? What's an activity that we could build into our family
tradition.
As a tradition? Just think about it purposefully. But you need to have a plan for that.
Well, one other little thing that we do for birthdays is that because... We homeschool, so we always have our day off. If it happens to fall Monday to Friday, your birthday in the family, we have a day off school. But that means if Jeff goes to work really early in the morning before the kids get up, we actually choose to give our children their birthday presents the night before so that because they have the day off school, they can actually play with their new birthday presents. We are very much into Lego as a family, so it's they get a big box of Lego and they have to create something, so therefore they can spend the day making their Lego thing that they got for their birthday. Rather than making them wait all day until Jeff gets home from work in the evening and then they've got to do school the next day, which means the frustration of them not being able to build their Lego thing is being high. So that's one thing that we do. But if your birthday falls on a Saturday or a Sunday, well, actually forget about Sundays, falls on a Saturday, yes, we often do it on the Saturday morning straight after breakfast. That's just what we do. And if it's a public holiday, well, you don't get a day off school.
Okay. Yes, you do. Just kept out of school anyway. All right. Part of our family identity we mentioned was growing families.
Is this called
we dunked Nathan into the whole prep for parenting thing and then got stuck into prep for toddler and then growing kids God's way. Nathan was only three when we did growing kids God's way. Alicia listened to the tapes. That's a little plastic thing you stick in and spin around. And music comes out, the words come out the speakers for those who don't know what tapes are. Alicia listened to them and read the book. I listened to the tapes in the car on the way to work. And sometimes we would remember to discuss the content. And we got hooked at that point. Since that time, and you can judge by the age rings on Nathan, how long we've been doing this stuff, we ran our first class when we moved to Tasmania. I went on off to night shift for a brand new job. Alicia went to an information evening with the Ezos to run a prep for parenting course and came back as a Growing Kids God's Way facilitator. I have not yet forgiven the Ezos. Alicia, I have forgiven. So GFA is pretty core to our family identity, and part of that is actually the material that we use. So for those of you on the recording, you can't see this, but we have a table in the corner with a bunch of stuff. So, if you could all be upstanding... Well, you're all upstanding.
Honey, I can do it from here. They can see. Yeah, I'll hold the books up.
I'll carry a book. I'll be the model.
There are heaps of books and resources here. We have one of everything, and I think I've read everything on this table. So if you want to ask me questions about anything, please feel free to do so. I'm not going to go through every book here, but there are a couple that I want to highlight. This is a new book by Joey and Carla Link. I don't know if any of you have heard of any of the mum's notes that are around. They are brilliant. Joey and Carla now have just basically taken snippets from that and made it into a book form. It is called Why Can't I Get My Kids to Behave? It is practical, it is inspiring, it is encouraging.
It is blunt.
It is very blunt. They're American.
Oh, yeah.
What else could I say? But it will help you, and we will talk a little bit more in relation to this in the next our next talk.
Alicia and I were brave enough to have the Ezos in our house. We were not brave enough to have the Lynx.
These books, Princess and the Kiss and the Squire and the Scroll.
Oh, my two favourite.
Absolutely fantastic. You can hold that one. These books...
it's got dragons in it and a Christian book.
If you've got children about four to six that really... Oh, we've got a dog in the house.
This is part of my family identity. I love dogs.
Who really enjoy storybooks. These books are fantastic. This is really aimed at a girl, and The Squire and the Scroll is aimed at a boy. These books are just beautiful. I know they're expensive, but they talk about purity, and it is just a beautiful story. And from there, you can move into the life lessons for children from about... 10, 11, 12 age bracket. Dads do Squire and Scroll with their sons. Mums do Princess and Kiss with their life lessons with their girls. It just helps them.
Single parents come and have a talk to us about how to do that.
We would strongly recommend those books. We have taken the children love. Even actually, Hannah was actually yesterday as we were getting ready to leave. She was actually lying on the floor of her bedroom reading the storybooks because she still loves them.
And Hannah likes The Princess and the Kiss more than The Squire and the Scroll, but only just.
She does like both. Miracle of Life, if you've ever looked at the Reflections of Moral Innocence course, that is a book that really is just a storybook you can put on the kids' shelf that talks about using the flower to explain the basics. We got the other two. Mission Boy to Man and Miracle of Change. These are not like storybooks to put on the bookshelf. This will help you take your daughter through her changes that's going to happen in her life as she gets to 10, 11, 12, 13 plus, and the same with the boys. It's also done mum to daughters, father to sons. These are brilliant. Nothing else with your children and you walk them through this, they will have a good grounding in purity in their lives. But it needs to start at a young age, as you are aware if you've done Reflections of Moral Innocence.
And they really do both build on The Squire and the Scroll and The Princess and the Kiss in terms of methodology and in terms of how that all fits together. I'm going through Boy to Man now with David, late. Only came out recently. It's my excuse. And it's excellent because it gives you a forum to sit down and discuss openly a whole range of topics.
Terrific toddler books are fantastic. There is also a DVD here that helps with those two. Never Give Up Heart and Too Wise to Be Mistaken, Too Good to Be Unkind are for families with special needs. And no, we haven't got the blending one, have we? No. Creative Family Times. Yep. Okay, we're over. And What Every Child Should Know Along the Way is also a fantastic resource in relation to just giving you a list of practical things of what your kids can at age. What age should they be learning to cut their fingernails? What age should they be learning to change a tyre? And what age should they be learning to make their beds? And just practical things like that.
It doesn't have Facebook in it.
No.
It's a little dated. All right. That will pretty much wrap up this bit. So that gives you an overview of family identity and a whole range of things to think about. Remember, be purposeful about this process.